Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to a December 12, 2008 segment from the Kentucky Water Fuel Museum. With us today is Rob Matthies, who is a member of the Vancouver Gadgeteers Club. Rob, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Very good. Welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot.
Well, I received an email from you today, rather interesting request having to do with funding for some projects that relate to alternative energy, which our webcast focus is primarily the use of water as a source of fuel. And a couple of the things mentioned in this email have to do with this. And so I thought that a person such as yourself, who has a reputation for promoting green-type behavior, is deserving of at least the opportunity to explain to the public what it is that you want money for and what you hope to accomplish with those funds. At the top of your list here is a $14,750 request for a alternating current or AC electrolysis project.
Yes, thanks very much. We've got a number of projects as I've detailed in my email. The most recent development that we've done is we've created Brown's Gas, or HHO as it's popularly called, using alternating current. Now, it is considered impossible by the experts that you can't do Faraday-type electrolysis with alternating current. And in fact, that was George Wiseman's talk there at the SFU, that's Simon Fraser University, with the New Energy Movement less than 2 months ago, and he said he's tried it and you can't use AC. So we have video clips on Vidler and YouTube showing that, yes, we have done it, and we've just loaded this to. And we've also, you know, I should explain that the gadgeteer that that did this, he is going for a patent on this, and he has already filed for the patent. The reason I'd like to explain this is that a lot of people get really upset when they want everything to be public domain. Well, we agree with that. Most of the stuff that we do and everything that I do personally, I do not file patents for. However, there is, you know, the other people have varying opinions. They think that it should be patented to avoid the invention from being patented by somebody else. And in fact, even George Wiseman said that his one of his inventions got patented in Korea by one of his customers. So there are countries where if you don't patent, someone's going to patent it, and they could suppress it, right? So that's why our member did this.
Well, it's really nobody's business what somebody does with one of their own inventions, something they've toiled over. If they want to patent it, if they want to market it, if they want to give it away, you know, this is just part of the normal. What we don't want to see is we don't want to see good technology buried. But if any device is invented, it is eventually going to be sold, and it's usually sold by people who try to protect their interest in it. So the main thing we don't want to see is someone develop some awesome alternative energy device and then it not be brought to market.
Right.
To think that there's going to be someone on the street corner passing it out for free is quite unrealistic.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I get, you know, probably a good 40% of people who contact me are of that tendency that they're kind of hopping mad that we're not just teaching them everything. They should realize that we do this out of our own pockets at considerable expense, not just financially and time-wise, but there is a dark force, in my opinion, out there trying to stop this, and they have lots of power, and we can feel it. And you know, so
when you say a dark force, you're talking about humans, right?
I don't know if it's human or otherwise. I'm a little bit kind of spiritual, and I've had discussions with some of our members and other people who have, I guess, were old enough to have a kind of a, you know, spiritual bent, if you will, and it sounds very unscientific, but I follow Stuart Wild's books as far as how one should be feeling towards other humans and stuff like that. But I, even though this is just a hobby for most of us, this is that we can feel that there is some really powerful, strange forces out there, and that's aside from the human beings who, I came out of, for example, like last spring, I think it was, I came out of a men's potluck at a church, and there was a man in the shadows and said, "Are you Rob Matthews?" And I immediately grabbed this guy and took him into the hall where, our men's club was still having its wrap-up of the potluck. And I said, "Well, who the heck are you, and how did you know I was here?" Because there's only two people other than the people here who know that I'm going to be here. So that's what I'm talking about. So
what was he after?
He was after, he wanted to know who in the club was the expert on hydrogen. And it's obviously not me because, I'm essentially the club salesman, being the lowest, I'm the lowest IQ on the IQ totem pole. So, I'm the least knowledgeable person. So, but he wanted to know who it was that was the expert. And this fellow had taken the trouble. He wouldn't provide me with, I said, "Well, okay, pull out your wallet and I want to see who you are." Right? He said he had no wallet and he actually parked his vehicle. He said he walked, but when the way he had walked out of the parking lot of the church was, and this is, I'll name the church, it's the Unitarian Church, in Vancouver. So you all know what I'm talking about, and I didn't make this up. There were about, 15 people who saw this fellow. He walked in a direction where he would have been parking his vehicle outside of view instead of parking. If he had taken a bus, he would be walking in the opposite direction. So anyway, so that's the, that's just one, our mails also don't arrive. So, emails, even to our own club members, they say, "Hey, you know what, I emailed you back something and it bounced back." So there's, that doesn't happen to most people. And then he said, this is, freaky because, as James said, I've never seen this before where I reply to somebody and it comes back with this kind of error message. So anyway, so maybe we're, maybe we're a little paranoid, but that's what we experienced.
Well, there's no question that good technology has been thwarted now for 100 years or better, and it has to do with people making money on energy. That's pretty obvious. Just to what extent that's taking place now, it would appear that there's less of that kind of... not that the people selling energy wouldn't want to continue to, keep this stuff out of the marketplace, but it appears that the Internet is the primary communication tool that has allowed us to overcome that, just like our talking now.
Yeah, I think you're right. Although I did, this morning, I got a phone call from a fellow who said, your videos don't work in my computer. So I said, "Oh, okay, that's odd," because... last night I got another call from a fellow who says, your video's not working, that's why I'm phoning you, because your phone number is on the text portion of the video server. So, but in respect to just a little bit further, George Wiseman, who I will defer to because he's he has 100 times experience and stature and credibility out there, Eagle Research, he has said in the forum, to 150 people there, I'd pay $20 to hear him at the New Energy Forum. He said that he's an experimenter, and so as soon as he discovers something, he immediately makes it public. Okay, in one way or another, and that's perhaps through selling a book or whatever. He says that's why I haven't been suppressed. And he said they've suppressed everybody else, but they haven't suppressed me because I immediately make it public. And I heard that, and I am listening to George Wiseman very carefully.
Okay, well, I noticed that one of the YouTube videos you referenced in your email to me does play about AC electrolysis. and perhaps we can post a link to that on the Blog Talk Radio site. But let's go on then. So you're hoping to, you say one of the group members that did this video of AC electrolysis is trying to patent the process, is that right?
He's filed, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's the 14,754 then?
Oh, this is just a preliminary. You know, it's a preliminary. That there is a process, then you need to refine it, and make sure you know and ramp it up, because this is like basically like if you think of LEDs, right? Like for lighting, for example, they you know, LEDs were discovered a long time ago, but you know the 10 watt LEDs are just being, you know, you're only seeing them in the shops right now, in the electronic shops. So it needs further development and, you know, to maximize its potential. So some of the other things that we're seeking money for, and please stop me if I'm just rattling on too much here, is there are a lot of bottlenecks. For example, let's talk about a really big issue. Let's talk about Stan Meyer's work, and you know what George Wiseman and Bob Boyce have also said they've only seen a few times. Wiseman says he's only seen it once in his lifetime. Bob Boyce says he's only seen it when he was racing boat engines a few times, and that is hitting the resonance so that you're getting gushing HHO coming out of your fuel cell. Right? We've seen it about three times more than George Wiseman. And but to get that resonance, it appears that you need a self-learning processor, because what happens is that the fuel cell, your hydrogen, you know, HHO fuel cell, if you put it on a meter, and I'm sure very few people other than us have this kind of equipment. It actually determines the microfarads of the fuel cell. And we have a video clip showing that. And I haven't seen anybody else showing that they have that kind of test equipment. So as soon as you use it, its resistivity changes immediately, because there's water coming out, there's water being drawn out. So, you know, the resonance is not fixed, and this is where people looking for to replicate Stan Meyer's work, even if they've got the waveform or whatever, it's not working, is it? So because the frequency that you're trying, you know, it's not a fixed frequency. It walks. So what you need is a heuristic algorithm that seeks and finds the resonance as it is moving, and so it's a moving target. So now, as an analogy, like if you look at a bridge, you'll see how bridges can be ripped apart by a relatively, light wind if it hits the exact resonance of that bridge. And you know, there's video clips you see of bridges getting torn apart by wind, not a tornado, but wind. So the resonance is really important, and but it's not easy to hit it. So someone needs to build a heuristic device that that can make this work. Another thing that I'm going to move on to another subject, which is I think preventing a lot of people from using HHO generators in their vehicles, and that is that it's too much trouble to have to load the water and to put in the correct amount of electrolyte. You put in too much, and you're going to trip your circuit breaker, or blow out a fuse. And if you don't have one, you'll destroy the actual fuel cell. You'll burn contact points and stuff. If you don't put enough, then you won't get any performance. So it's basically you're playing with a chemistry set, and ideally, you should have no electrolyte. You just put in water, right? And but most people aren't able to achieve that. Now we have shown electrolyte-free generators out there, and however, there is something that most people don't realize has to be done. So these are things where we would like to have a I guess, an ideal system where we standardize the gaps, the electronics, so that everybody can have a pulse width modulator that actually works. You know, there's PWMs out there from $14 to $200, but as they found out in HHO games, it doesn't necessarily mean anything that you have a PWM and you're actually getting something out of it, right? We know a little bit different because we actually have the equipment and we actually run experiments on these, and we can see what is happening with pulse width modulation at all kinds of frequencies up to the, you know, some very high frequencies. So, that's just another area. We have, there are various bottlenecks, and another thing that we'd like to solve for everybody is, why is it that diesel number two fuel, if you have that in a diesel, turbo diesel semi, the HHO stops producing gains. It works with diesel number one, but not with diesel number two. So these are, we don't know the answer to that, but that is a serious question. And if that can be solved, then a lot more truckers could be running on Brown's gas. So those are just some of the issues that, in respect to what you're interested in, I think there might be some other items on the list that you might find significant, and perhaps you can tell me what is important to you.
No, I think you've pretty well covered the list of experiments that you'd like to pursue and the amounts of money that you feel are needed to pursue this. And then, of course, there's YouTube clips associated with each investigation so that people can see what you've already done. You've already posted video clips of these experiments.
Right.
Well, it's understandable that this kind of research can't happen without any money.
I think that you don't need a lot of money because you can do this on a micro scale.
Yeah, I think the most that you're asking for is something like $22,000 or something, right?
I think there was something. No, I think there was one in the $54,000 range there. That's the. But the give you an idea what is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the highest amount that I see here is something like $22,500.
Okay, maybe I'm wrong then.
Oh no, okay, yeah, there sure is. It says create a self-learning circuit. That's what you were talking about for the Bob Boyle
right.
style.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, $54,000.
Okay. Now, to give you an idea, here in North Vancouver, there are, I don't know, about 20 vehicles running on straight hydrogen, not HHO, but just hydrogen, because here in Vancouver we have a unique facility which doesn't exist in most parts of the world. There's a factory here which actually just has hydrogen as a byproduct, and they just blow it out in the air. So being that it's on the route of what's the so-called hydrogen highway, with the Whistler to Vancouver Olympic Highway, 2010 Olympics, for 2010 Olympics, the powers that be, the municipalities and the organizations that like to promote hydrogen, they have funded hydrogen powered pickup trucks and tourist buses, and these are like $400,000 a piece. Right.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
Right. And so, what we're asking for is, it's not even petty cash compared to what they're spending for that technology. So, but you know what? I'll just tell you, I'm a little bit disappointed that the public doesn't come to the rescue of, in this case, this, in one case, like, for example, if you're on YouTube and you type in alternative energy, right? 2 out of the first 10 videos are our video clips, right? So we don't really see people jumping in and saying, we'll fund you, just give you an idea. I am one of the gadgeteers who started my own interest in HHO, because I actually didn't believe it initially. And, despite one of our members bringing it to the table, is because I didn't see any definitive proof until a fellow called Enrico, who was in Saudi Arabia, showed some really interesting proof on a two-stroke scooter. And he did the very first thing which convinced me that HHO was valid. And so even without him asking, I sent him some money. I said, like, you know, give me a PayPal account and I'll send you $200 because I like what you're doing. And same thing, there was another fellow somewhere in the States who had done some interesting stuff on bubblers and, you know, flashback arresters. And he had obviously gone into some trouble. And I said, well, you know, I'd like to send you some money. You know, he didn't ask. I just, you know, sent him a couple of $100 because, you know, and I knew I wasn't even in HHO at the time. I just saw that he had taken the trouble. So, unfortunately, we don't get that kind of, you know, I guess that's not something that too many people do. I thought that...
No, it hasn't been my experience that there are really people like yourself sending money to experimenters.
Yeah, so that's anyway,
rare.
So so that's, you know, Enrico has, you know, has gone on and he's made other things. So that encouraged him to do other things with it. And he has, you know, he's doing
I'm familiar with that video clip. Is that where he's in, like, in a back patio area, walled area, and he's you know, stomping on the Kickstarter of a motorcycle? And...
No. Enrico is, he has a Honda Dio. You can find him on YouTube. If you type in Honda Dio, that's D-I-O-H-H-O, and he was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and he has... He actually shows that he loads 250 milliliters of gasoline, and he measures how far he went with it, and then he does the same thing with this fifth version of his HHO generator. He went 4 kilometers instead of 3, and then he was also able to climb hills that his scooter, just 50cc, couldn't climb before.
Oh,
and
really?
Also, yeah, and the third benefit... which is, you know, huge in some of our members' eyes, is that the smoke was no longer blue, right? So there was no smoke. So this is another thing in one of our latest videos in our December meeting, which is on YouTube, Vancouver Gadgeteers December 2008 meeting. One of our members, Ron, has his two fingers out. One finger he stuck in a tailpipe of a gasoline vehicle, and the other he stuck in a tailpipe of an HHO-powered, you know, HHO-assisted vehicle. And you can see in his two fingers the difference, right? So aside from the mileage gain, there seems to be a lot less soot coming from an HHO-assisted engine. So,
The number one reason for using a hydrogen booster is to clean up the emissions. And the second reason is to achieve... fuel savings. That should be our priority anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Every vehicle should have one, whether there's fuel savings or not.
Yes, I agree with you. A lot of people don't realize that, you know, even the College of Physicians have issued their reports on how many thousands of people are dying every year from diesel soot, right? So it's, you know, there's that benefit. And if you live in, you know, people who live in Toronto, in the last 10 years that the city has become so polluted that it's virtually, you know, I guess a hazard to the health in the summer. Whenever it gets over 26 degrees Celsius, there's almost automatic smog alert, meaning that if you shouldn't be out there jogging, playing tennis, exerting yourself, biking. And if you do, people will actually stop you if you're biking out there or jogging and say, hey, don't you know you could die from just a... you could have an instant heart attack from the PM10, particulate matter 10 microns or smaller.
Well, you think that there should be a YouTube clip of someone running up to a jogger and then himself collapsing, you know, for the effort to try to warn the jogger, you know?
Oh, okay.
That would be
that would
humorous
be a,
clip, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, it's... that would be fun. So, yeah, I think we should have some. You know, life's too short to be serious. So let's have a little fun.
Well, it seems like it's a better way to convey the message. You know, people are more inclined to pay attention to something that's humorous or
right. No,
even
I'm
like this
you.
Movie that's coming out tonight. We're going to go see this movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still, which is a remake of an old science fiction movie. The message of that movie from 1951 was humans are screwing up so bad that aliens have to come here and threaten them to straighten up. You know, because
Klaatu, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to seeing how the remake does it. But thanks for joining us on the program, and hopefully the contact information that will be posted on Blog Talk Radio on this page will enable people to contact you. If you'd like to just say what your email address is where people can reach you.
Sure. Okay. The our email address is gadgeteers@operamail.com.
Gadgeteers@operamail.com.
That's correct. And we don't publish our PayPal account because otherwise we get phished. So if someone would like to make a donation, PayPal seems to be the safest way at the moment because our international mail seems to be getting intercepted. So we're, or send it by courier or in person. So that's those are the safest ways, I guess, for any communication, you know, like any checks or funds to arrive.
Okay, well, it's good to know that your group is delving into these technologies that can be of great benefit to mankind, and seems that it's a worthy effort to support.
We're also
for huge sums of money, reasonable amounts to achieve this research.
Can I just add in a, because we said mankind. Well, we also benefit womankind, and like we have one of our fun devices is our nanocurrent machine, which as you'll see on YouTube and other videos, we are taking out wrinkles and facial abnormalities from
And that's
from
not a
face.
Benefit to mankind.
It's a benefit to womankind.
That's somewhat discriminatory, though, isn't it? I guess I should have said humankind, huh?
Oh, humankind. Okay. So anyway, so we're after other. Oh, and one of the last things is we figured out a way to so you can eat all you want and not get fat. So,
Yeah, and hopefully you don't want to eat more than you need to. But what about that? Just for the sake of those who are interested in that anti-wrinkle technology, where is that found?
Okay, they can Google nanocurrents.
Nanocurrents on Google.
Yeah, nanocurrents, one word, yeah.
Okay, and that'll bring up Gadgeteers.
It'll bring up our video clip, and they can see what happened to and what the women say about it. It's, anyway, we're not,
Well, that's the thing your guy needs to be patenting right there.
I don't think he's going to patent that one, but we have a device that we can ship. If there's enough interest.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll hear some favorable results in the near future, perhaps doing this interview again.
Thanks very much.
All right, take care.
Thanks for doing this. Okay, bye-bye.
No.